Okay, we are on Jewish Mean Time, if you didn't know. We're on Jewish Mean Time, JMT. And it's 10 o'clock Jewish Mean Time, which is like 10 minutes late. You know what happens when a Sephardi marries an Ashkenazi?
He's 15 minutes late.
Well, a Sephardi is always late. Right. So if he marries a Yeki, a Sephardi marries a Yeki...
You're 5 minutes late.
It's 10 minutes late, exactly. Exactly 10 minutes late. Anyway, so we have a couple of stories. Slicha. There are two people sitting outside the Vatican, two paupers begging, and they have trays for collecting money outside the Vatican. And one has a big Magin David, and one has a big cross. And people go to the Vatican, they look at the Jew over there, they sniff at the Jew, and they put double the money in the Christian. And the guy comes out of the Vatican, looks at the Jew over there, sitting over there collecting, ignores him, puts double in the Christian. And the priest comes out, he says, tells the Jew, he says, what are you doing over here? You're wasting your time. And the Jew turns to the other guy and he says, Moishele, look who's telling us how to run our business. So anyway, so we today we're discussing a very interesting Mishnah. And the Mishnah is in chapter 6. I'm skipping a little bit because we have to talk about trying to introduce Pesach gently, very gently. Let's not talk about cleaning, we're just talking about Pesach.
Thank you.
And a little bit of Pesach because chapter 6... of Pirkei Avot. In Mishnah 2, it tells this amazing concept. It's a big chiddush. It's a very big chiddush. And it tells us that it goes back to the tablets of stone. You know, the Moshe Rabbeinu goes on Har Sinai, and the first time he gets how many tablets? Huh?
Two.
How much did it cost us?
Nothing.
Hashem says, I'll give you tablets. He says, how much will it cost? He says, nothing. It's free? I'll take two. Okay, it's a joke. It's okay. The other joke is, he had a little cold. He said, Moshe Hashem says, I'll give you two tablets. Anyway, they're all jokes today. Okay. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Kol mi she'eino sek b'Torah nikra nazuf. A person who doesn't learn Torah is called nazuf. What's nazuf? Nazuf is like in a cherem. He's like in excommunicated. Look at that. It's a gold ring in the nose of a pig. A person doesn't behave properly, a Jew doesn't behave properly, and learning Torah is like a gold ring. The Torah is like a gold ring, but he's like a pig. The guy's not behaving properly.
What Mishnah is this, you said?
Chapter 6, Mishnah 2. And the tablets were made by God. You know, the first tablets and the second tablets. The first tablets were actually manufactured by Hashem. The second tablets were manufactured by Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, you go make the tablets. Bring me the tablets. I'll write, but you go. The first tablets are actually made by Hashem. Hashem manufactured them. Amazing. Mikhtav Elohimu. And it's written by God. Harut aluluchot. And they were engraved on the tablets. Hashem engraved the writing on the tablets. It was a miracle. You know why? You could read on both sides.
Right.
Imagine. You read the tablets this way. It's all in order. You turn it around, you should get the mirror image. No! You can read from both sides. Miracle! And the Gemara says that the letters were hanging by miracles. Why? Because the middle of the Mem Sofit. Middle Mem Sofit. Imagine Mem Sofit goes all the way around. That's a Mem Sofit. The middle of it is not connected because it's engraved all the way through. It's hanging by a miracle, anti-gravity. Amazing, amazing miracle. So you can read it both sides and you can... And the Mem Sofit was just hanging over there, Samach and the Mem Sofit hanging in the middle. Amazing. So look at the Mishnah says. Harut aluluchot. They were engraved on the tablets. The writing was engraved on the tablets. Al tikra harut el acherut. Don't read engraved, but read
freedom.
Shendecha ben chorin el amish yosek betalmud Torah. You don't have a person who is free, except for a person who learns Torah. Hear that? What is freedom?
Learning Torah.
Huh?
Somebody Torah. Practices Torah.
Practices or sek b'talmud Torah. He says busy. You know, it's interesting. This Friday we don't say the bracha in the morning. Ashkenaz say lasok b'divrei Torah, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone agree? Yeah, I'm waiting. Yeah?
Yes.
Friday we say?
I don't know. I'm not a Friday.
Good. That's a good answer. Al divrei Torah. You don't say lasok divrei Torah, you say al divrei Torah. Why? Because lasok means you're busy, you're sweating it out. You're really busy, you're learning deeply. Many people learn deeply. Try to look, even if what happens if you don't learn deeply. If you're not really osek, you're not really learning in a kollel, you're not learning in a yeshiva, you're not osek with divrei Torah, you're reading the Torah. So therefore you say al divrei Torah, even if you're not learning deeply. Lasok means to really engage yourself, busy yourself with Torah. So he says, there's no one free unless you're actually busy studying, you know, with all your heart. Lasok is, you're busy like it's your business. And esek is a business. You make the Torah your business. A person's only free when the Torah is their business. What do you mean? What does that mean? So number one, we have a couple of questions. So first question is, what is the word for freedom? Well, what does the Torah say? What is freedom? What is the word freedom? What's the word for freedom in the Torah? Huh? Drawer. Excellent. Drawer. Rabbi Hashem Moshe b'har Sinai lemor. Rabbi Ben Israel. Shesh Anim Tizra. Okay. It talks about laws of Shemitah. Parsha Behar. And then it says, you will count 7 years, seven times, right? Until you get the Jubilee year. And what happens in Jubilee year? Va'avarta shofar turah b'chodesh ha-shevi'i. You will blow the shofar on the
seventh month,
which is?
Tishrei.
And the tenth. Because Nisan is the first. Okay. In biblical history, in biblical law, Tishrei is the seventh month.
Right. Yeah.
On the seventh month, be'asol ha-chodesh, on the tenth of March. Which day is that?
Yom Kippur.
You blow the shofar in Yom Kippur of the Jubilee year. Taviru shofar b'chor ha'atzchem. Wow. And what for? B'kidashem shana doshim yichomishim shana. You will sanctify the 50th year. That's the Jubilee year. We don't have this today. U'kratem dror ba'aretz. And you will call freedom in the land. Hear that? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Big funny.
The Liberty Bell.
It rings a bell, right? It's on the Liberty Bell. This pasuk is on the Liberty Bell. And go to Philadelphia. U'kratem dror ba'aretz. It said that in Hebrew. Hebrew and English.
English. It does. Yeah.
It does. Ukratem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveh. You will call freedom of the land to all the inhabitants. Yovel hilachem. It's a Jubilee year. So what is the word for freedom in the Torah?
Dror.
Where does dror come from? We used to have a family here in town called dror. Huh? A dror. Tzipor dror. A dror. A free bird. A bird. A bird is called a dror.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. In Hebrew. Yeah, of course. A dror is a free, a bird. A bird is free, right? You let a bird go, it's gone. It's gone. Free. It's free. So dror is freedom. Ukratem dror baretz. You go to Liberty Bell, that's what it says. It's called freedom of the land. The word for free is dror.
It really says that?
Yeah. You know what I mean? You gotta go.
Okay, that's
just
to
see.
It's only an hour and a half drive.
Yeah, it's not far at all.
You wanna drive me?
It's a nice Jewish guy who gave the bell, donated the bell, and he put the pasuk on it. Why not? Kratev dror baretz. The only trouble is, it's not talking about a bell. It's talking about a shofar. The shofar, you blew the shofar. It's freedom. Freedom for who? Freedom for who? Which slaves?
The Israeli slaves.
The Jewish slaves. Who? Jewish slaves go free in the Shemitah.
So
why Jubilee? Why Jubilee? These are the slaves who had their ears pierced. They say, we love our masters. We don't want to go free.
Right,
we're going to have our ears pierced.
Yeah, right.
And they go free on the Jubilee. Okay. They go free on the Jubilee. So that's freedom for the slaves. I'm thinking of people. It's not freedom for everyone. It's freedom for slaves who had their ears pierced. Amazing story. Okay. There's another word for freedom. Who can tell me the other word for freedom?
Chirut.
We said that already. Chirut's in the Mishnah. We have Chirut in the Mishnah. But where in the Torah does it say freedom? So we have one source is Dror.
Okay.
The second source is? Chirut's in the Mishnah.
Right.
So let me quote you. This is the Torah in Parsha Mishpatim. Again, it talks about slavery. This is talking about a Jewish slave. Ki tikne eved ivri, shesh shanim yavod, 6 years he will work, b'shvid yetze lachofshi. What's the word for his freedom? Chofshi. Where is that show? In the Hatikva, right? Liot am?
Chofshi.
But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, the word for freedom in the Mishnah is
Chirut.
Ben Chorin. Beautiful. But why does the Mishnah use a different language? Why does the Mishnah not say, if you want to be a true free person, is a person who is chofshi, free. A true free person is a person who is a drawer. Right? Why does the Mishnah use a different word, Chirut? Wasn't it in Chirut? We have a very big question. In the Haggadah, what do we say? Me'avdut le'chirut. But Chirut's not in the Torah. It's interesting. It doesn't say the slaves go free. If you look at the Torah, it doesn't say the Jewish people went free. What does it say about the Jewish people?
Slavery.
It doesn't say freedom in the Torah about slaves. It doesn't say about the Jews. The Jews in Egypt never became free. It doesn't say they became free. Why not?
They're serving God.
They went from one slavery to another slavery. They went from slavery to Paro to slavery of Hashem.
Eved Hashem.
Eved Hashem. Wow. We never became free. It doesn't use the word freedom for the Jewish people. Shelach etami, said, let my people go. Ya'abduni. You know, that's the part, you know, when they had these demonstrations for Russian Jewry.
Yeah.
Let my people go. They left out the next part of the Pasuk.
Right.
For Ya'abduni, let my people go to serve me. Not to go free and go to Brighton Beach or Staten Island Beach and they sit over there and they're free. No, it's not talking about that. It says, Shelach etami ve'yavduni. Let them go free to serve me, Hashem says. In other words, they're never going to be free. Shelach etami. It doesn't say freedom. Let my people go to serve me. In other words, they're going from you, Paro, to me. Straight away. There's no freedom. There's no in between. Either you're slaves to man or you're slaves to God. So how do you become free? What is freedom? Right? So we have two words for freedom. So a slave who goes free is called a chofshi. And a slave who goes free, if his ears are pierced, is called zror. Two kinds of freedom. So why does the Mishnah use a different word? So that's our question. And we have another issue. And that's much harder. Okay, it's very easy to be free. This world is a land of liberty. We guarantee your rights of liberty. Go on, let's go. What? How does it say? What is a Bill of Rights? Let's go. What's it? How does it go? The whole line.
Life, liberty,
and the pursuit of happiness. You're guaranteed life. Life, liberty, freedom. Liberty is freedom. And the pursuit of happiness. You can pursue happiness all you want. Doesn't say you're going to get it. No. You're allowed to free. You're free to pursue it. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. We're free to pursue happiness. The trouble is, the more you pursue it, the less you get. Because you're always running after happiness, happiness, happiness.
Unfortunately, in this country, while that phrase was being written, there was slavery.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is ironic, right? Liberty. So liberty to a chosen few. Whereas the Torah doesn't say that. It says you'll call liberty in the land. Liberty in the land, the whole land. Everyone's going to be free. Anyway, so we have to understand what is freedom. So we have different words. We have three words for freedom. Two words in the Torah, chofshi and dror. And we have a third word the Mishnah invented called cherut. 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 Yeah, cherut. Freedom in the Torah, in the Mishnah is cherut. Which is interesting. Why did they change the word? Why didn't they say chofshi? You're free. So the rabbis invented a new word, cherut. It's cherut. Amazing, amazing. The other issue is, we just read last week's parasha yesterday. A long time ago, right? Yesterday? Parasha Tzav. And over there it says, talks about the mitzvah of lighting a fire on the altar. How many fires were there on the altar? Let's go. Let's see. Who knows? How many fires on the altar? Say again. Three! Excellent! Top of the class. Three fires on the altar. Why do you have three fires on the altar? Why do you need three fires on the altar? Keep you warm? It wasn't used for keeping warm. Why was it? Why were three fires on the altar? So number one was, it was a pilot light. Small pilot light.
Okay.
That pilot light says, burnt all the time. 24-7. You have to light a fire 24-7 on the Mizbeah. There are three fires. One is the small pilot light. The other one was the Maracha, the big fire, which was for the Korbanot. And then you had another fire over there for the incense altar. They would take a light from there to light the fire on the incense altar. And the gold altar inside. So you have three fires over there.
The Ner Tamid because of that Esh Tamid?
Yes. Well, the Ner Tamid is because of the menorah. The Ner Tamid in the Shul is because on the menorah there was a fire that went out. Menorah, they had a light in the menorah. The Ner Ma'aravi, the western light, never went out in the menorah. It was a miracle. Another miracle. A miracle that happened every single day in the temple was one of the lights of the menorah never went out. Imagine the light, seven lights in the menorah. The middle one, according to some people, never went out. It just stayed on till the next day, and then the Kohen relit it. He filled it up again and relit it. But the miracle was all the other lights went out because there was only enough light in the menorah, only enough oil for the night. You don't need a menorah on a night, in the day.
But this light just kept on going. Amazing. So as a remembrance of that, we have a Ner Tamid in the shul. Not because of the fire in the altar, but because of the... So anyway, so what is the altar today? We don't have an altar today. What is the altar today? Where is the altar? So Shulchan Aruch says an amazing thing. Shulchan Aruch says, leave salt on your table all the time. The Rama brings down, always leave salt on your table. When people are going to wash hands, leave salt on your table. Even though today we don't have to dip our bread in salt, because the bread is already salted. But it's good to have salt on your table all the time. Why? So he says, because your table is your altar. Your table is your altar. Why is your table your altar? Because I'm taking all the food, and I'm eating the food in order to serve God. Mm-hmm. So I'm transforming the physical energy of the food into spiritual fire. So the fire is you. You've got to be on fire. When the Torah says you'll light a fire 24/7, means you have to be passionate and emotional and attached to Judaism for 24/7. The light is going to burn in you. It's very hard to be emotionally charged 24/7. Very hard. You don't know. Very hard. It's very hard to get up with passion in the morning and say, I want to serve Hashem. It's very hard to go to sleep with passion and say, you know what, I want to get up early in the morning and serve Hashem. A person says, live with passion, 24/7. So you find Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, all the greats, they were passionate about their Judaism. And that's something, if you're not passionate about your Judaism, you can't transfer it to other people. A person who's not passionate about their Judaism cannot transfer it to other people. How do you know? There's a famous Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you remember the first days when the steam locomotive was invented? I don't remember either, but I'm just asking you. Maybe someone of it. Do you remember when the steam locomotive was invented? Anyone remember? No. Okay. I'm just telling you. The steam locomotive was invented. Right. And the first steam locomotive is coming through, I don't know where it was, Poland, Russia at that time. They built tracks. First you got to build the tracks, and then eventually the train makes an appearance. The first time, imagine, you're seeing a train. It's like seeing a monster. That's where he lived, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Russia, Poland, Russia. So now, can you imagine, everyone goes to the tracks. All the Jews of the town go. Where are they going? They go to see the train. Never saw a train in their lives. Imagine. Massive transformation. They go to the train, they see the people building the rails, and they're all excited by being rails. It's going to be a big new thing, like a locomotive. What's a locomotive? They go and they come to the station, and they see this massive behemoth, animal, coming through, fishing and puffing and this. And it's putting like 8 carriages behind it, and full of people. I've never seen anything like it. Imagine, never seen like it. What's going on? So they see the rabbi, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. What is he doing? He's walking down the train, touching the cars. Come on, think about it. The rabbi's walking down the train, touching this car, touching that car, touching that car. Doesn't say anything. Watching him. What's going on? He's crazy. What's going on? Touching the cars. He gets to the front of the car. He touches the locomotive. Right. Ah! Eureka! Now I know. So what's the big thing, Rabbi? What's going on here? He said, now I know. One hot car can pull many cold cars.
Right. He didn't injure himself?
No. But anyway, what does it mean? One hot car can pull many cold cars. If one person is passionate, they can ignite other people. If the mother is passionate about Judaism, she can ignite all the daughters. If the father is passionate about his Judaism, he can ignite all the children. But if they're not passionate, the parents are not passionate about their Judaism, they can't ignite anyone. If the teachers are not passionate in school, the children are going to be blah.
Right.
You see that today. Why? Because the teacher's not passionate. If they're not passionate, they can't transfer anything. If you're not passionate, so a 24/7 person is going to be passionate. So that's a very important idea, this idea of being passionate about your Judaism. How do you be passionate about Judaism? A person's going to be passionate. The Rambam brings down in the laws of Mada, he says the mitzvah to love God. How do you love God? Anyone tell me how to love God? It's been puzzling. How do you love God? The mitzvah, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to love God. So in the Sefer Mitzvot, Rambam says, how do you love God? By sharing God with everyone else. If you really like someone, you'll tell other people also, such a nice person, this person's a nice person, I like this person, why you should also like this person, he's also a great person. If you love someone, you'll share that with other people. He says, when you love God, you share with other people. Right? You go around and say, listen, I believe in God. Avraham Avinu loved God like no one else loved God. He shared the message to the whole world, and there's a God over here. You gotta love God, it's a great God, he's fantastic, he did so much for us. So we have a mitzvah to love God, that's one aspect of loving God. The other aspect, he says, a passion for God, which Shlomo HaMelech describes in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. What is Song of Songs? It's a love story. Between who and who? Well, it says a shepherd and his girlfriend. That's what it says.
Yeah.
But don't take it literally. It's a love song between man and God.
Right.
Man and God. So what does Shlomo Melech say in this shir? He says, "Cholat ahava ani." I'm love sick. I'm sick with love. Imagine. The person being saying, you know, I'm so in love with God. I'm sick in my love. I can't wait. I can't. It's wild. It's wild. So that's the passion we have to have. That's the fire we have to have inside. Now, the trouble with that is a person's on fire can actually cause fire. A person who's too much passion can go crazy as well. Where do we see this? Pinchas. A person wants to be a Pinchas. You have today, people want to be what? Kanaim. What's Kanaim?
Jealous.
Zealous for God. Zealous. So in their fit of zealousy, they'll throw stones at people, they'll do all sorts of damages, and that's a danger. The danger is there's a fine balance over here between passion and carrying it to the nth degree. So a person's got to learn how to moderate the passion.
Eshtara.
Right, very good. Which is this week's parasha of Nadav and Avihu, bring the false fire, the strange fire, right? Mm-hmm. So there's fire, we have to have fire all the time, a person's got a passion all the time, but then there's strange fire. There's passion which is off the rocks, it's gone off the rails. Passion off the rails. It's Eish Zara. Anyway, so the Jews, when they came out of Egypt, were not free. Why weren't they free? They were free of Paro,
but
they became slaves to God. So when are we considered free? We're not free when we left Paro. We're not free now because we're under Hashem, right? Ah, so the Mishnah tells us, yes, you are free. Yeah, that is freedom. What is freedom? Come to freedom. Let's talk about freedom. So what is freedom? So there's two biblical words for freedom. One is chofshi, which is in the hatikva, which is, you know, I try and change it. When I say hatikva, I change it. Liot am chofshi, I change to am kodshi. To be a holy people, we don't be in Israel to be a free people. We're here free. We're free everywhere else. We're in Israel to be am kodshi. We're in Israel because the Torah says, liot mamlechet kohanim vegoy kadosh, a holy nation. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So we want to be am kodshi. We don't be am chofshi. Chofshi, we're going to talk about. What is chofshi? We're going to talk about. But we have to change. When we read the sing the hatikva, we have to change that because the word chofshi is not a good word. Chofshi means to be free like everyone else, right? Just exactly like the American Constitution. Be free. The problem with freedom is, what's the problem with freedom? If you're free and I'm free, we have individual freedom, what happens? It's called anarchy.
Right.
Anarchy means you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. You go to the streets, you can rob, you can steal, you can kill, you can murder. That's anarchy. That's freedom. I can do whatever I want. So what happens? Society says, that's individual freedom. We're going to take away your individual freedom for the common good. Because we want society to flourish. So now we give you freedom, but there's all sorts of laws in the books.
It's not allowed to infringe on the rights.
You can't infringe on the rights of other people. So that already, half your freedoms are gone already. But hey, you're in... All the fun in my life, you ruined all my fun, you took away my freedoms. They don't say that. Oh, you're free. You know, there's the...
Chofshi Be'al Seinu.
Okay. What does it mean?
Different, just Chofshi.
Okay, Chofshi Be'al Seinu. So I'm going to be Chofshi in my land. I'll be secular in my land. What does it make? Is that our goal? Is that our goal? No.
No.
So the question is like this. So the question is, what is freedom? So freedom is... You have the social, the socialist, libertarians, Democrats, whatever. This idea of being free is, I can do whatever I want. I can do what I want. You can't. Because society comes along and says, you can't. When it impinges on other people, you can't do what you want. You can't steal, you can't rob, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. You know, they're going through the borders now. Certain things they're allowing, which were never allowed before. But anyway, let's not talk about that now. That's chofshi. Chofshi is... You're allowed to do certain things, but we're going to take away those rights when it impinges on other people. So you're half free, but you're not wholly free. You're half free. So that's chofshiut. That's chofshiut. And that's also dror. Dror is liberty, but your liberties have to be taken away for the common good. So really, there's no freedom really. There's no 100% freedom. So what is freedom? So that's where this great, the rabbis were great. So this word cherut, it's interesting because it is in one place in the Torah. Where is this word cherut in the Torah? Who can tell me the secret? Where is this word cherut?
By the
luchot. By the? Luchot. Well, yeah, that's what we told you. Cherut al. It says it was engraved on the tablets. Where else is it? Where else was it engraved? Help me, come on, guys. It says by the golden calf. Right? No. Who makes the golden calf? Aaron HaKohen. Think about it. This week's parasha coming up, Parasha Shemini, it says Moshe Rabbeinu drew Aaron close. Ve'yakrev et Aaron. He drew Aaron close. Why do you need to draw Aaron close? There's a wild midrash over here. The midrash says, Aaron says, I don't want to be high priest. I'm scared to be high priest. You know why? Why is Aaron scared to be high priest?
Maybe what happened?
He made the egel. He made the egel. I made the golden calf. If I made the golden calf,
and I'm the high priest.
Well, I'm not going to be. How can I be high priest? I'm the high priest to idolatry. How is the high priest to idolatry? Now, how can I be a high priest to God? I made the golden calf. I'm the least likely person to be the high priest. Choose someone else, Moshe. Why do you want me? Moshe says, hey, I know your reasons why you made the egel. Why did you make the egel? Because Hashem, can you imagine, look at Aaron. Aaron says, listen, instead of them making the egel and sinning, let me make the egel and sin. I'm going to take the sin upon myself. Imagine, think about it. That's one opinion. Second opinion says, if I don't make the egel, they'll kill me. They just killed Hur. Who is Hur? The grandson of? Guys. Miriam. Miriam's. Yeah, Hur. Who is the son of Bezalel? Ben Uri, Ben Hur. Hur was the son of Miriam. Son of Miriam. Imagine. And that's why Bezalel got to build the Mishkan, because his grandfather gave his life not to build the Egel. Anyway, so Aaron builds the Egel. And Aaron gets chosen a high priest because Hashem says, Aaron, I knew your motives for making the Egel was to defend the Jewish people. And the high priest's job is to defend the Jewish people. And you're suited exactly to defend the Jewish people. You are going to be the high priest. So what does it say by building the Egel? Vayikach mi'adam. He takes all the gold and silver, right? He tells them, go bring your wife's earrings. He thought, you know, the wives are never going to give the earrings. You try and get your women, your wife's jewelry. You think it's going to be easy? You think she's going to give her jewelry? And you know what happened? Vayikach mi'adam. Vayiparku kolam in ismei hazahav. They just broke it off their wives' ears. They're lunatics. Can you imagine these guys?
Ouch.
They broke off all the nose rings. All the earrings.
Oh.
And they brought it to Aaron. Imagine, they bring a whole pile of earrings. Vayikach mi'adam. He takes it from the hands. Vayatzar oto bacheret. Here's the word. Cherut. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit, okay. With the tet. Vayatzar oto bacheret. Yeah, but you can always switch the two. He took it from the hands and fashioned it. The word for fashioning, cheret. The word fashioning, engraving, similar, similar. It's similar. Okay, come to it. Okay. So we have a new word over here. So we know the chartumim. The magicians were called chartumim. Why were they chartumim? Because they were the ones who knew how to write. In those days, writing was done by engraving. Cherut. Harut. It's similar word. Okay. So that's why they call chartumim. So why do we need a new word for freedom? That's a question. So chofshi is when a slave becomes free. That's what he does. The word chofshi comes from the word lechapes, which is to search. Lechapes. Or the word lechapes comes from the word chefetz.
Desire.
Tzadi and Samach. Sin. You can switch it around. Desire. You can do whatever you desire. Exactly what the American Constitution says, right? The rights to pursue
happiness,
desire. All your desires, you can pursue your desires. Amazing, think about it. Chofshi, comes with chafetz, desire, seeking. You're free to pursue your desires. The philosophers call this negative liberty.
Negative what?
Liberty.
Negative.
The absence of coercion. You're not forced to do anything. You can do what you want. What do you mean you can do what you want? No authority. No one's going to tell you anything. So now I'm free. I can do whatever I want. What am I going to do? You have your choices. That's negative liberty. So chofshi is fine for individual freedom. But it's bad for society. Why? Because this one does this, one does this, one does this. Society falls apart. It's anarchy. Anarchy. So that's what you have. You go to France. Right? You have the yellow shirt. What's it called? Who's with me? Who's been on the news? Yellow shirt. Come on, guys. What's happening in France?
It's anarchy.
No one knows. It's amazing.
Yeah. Rioting constantly.
They're rioting on the streets. The yellow shirts. You know yellow shirts? They wear yellow shirts and they go rioting. That's anarchy. That's not pursuit of freedom. That's anarchy, right? So
it's
we don't...
It's been pretty terrible lately, Rabbi. I try to avoid it.
You avoid the news. Okay.
I
Everyone, you want to hear this with the news? Amazing. So chofshi is fine for individual freedom, but doesn't. What about collective freedom? So a society with no rule of law is a failed society. It's a failed society. Imagine. Every society, if you're a free society, need law. So can you imagine? You know, there's a sign on safe drugs. Have you seen the sign on safe drugs? It's a fantastic sign. No. Get a free ride in a squad car. Get a free ride in a squad car. If you leave the store without paying, you're going to get a free ride in a squad car. It's a free ride. You get a free ride. Can you imagine the police taking you for a free ride? Anyone want that free ride? Is that freedom? Is that freedom? It's not freedom.
No, that's going the opposite.
But that's
free
what
ride in the squad car to go to the
free school. Ride in the squad car. Bar Minan. Should never get a free ride in a squad car. Okay. So
this is to protect you.
This is to protect you. But you're free. But I'm free, but if I'm too free, I can impinge on other people's rights, as you said. Can't. So why do people keep the law? Why are people law abiding? Fear of consequences. Oh boy. Why do people keep the law? That means if the police are not around and there's no cameras,
right.
And you see some inner cities, you see violence. You know, New York City used to be the most violent city in probably today, Chicago. But New York City before Giuliani came along, under Dinkins and Koch, right. It was a disaster. You couldn't walk the streets at night. Even the most expensive neighborhoods. Imagine, think about it. The most expensive neighborhoods of New York.
You couldn't wear like good jewelry in New York.
You couldn't. You remember the squeegee guys? I remember the squeegee guys.
Yeah.
I used to drive through the, before you get to the tunnel, you had all these squeegee guys. They just quit your windscreen and say, give me money. Otherwise they'll smash your windscreen. So what do you want? You give them money. You pay them off. Crazy. It was crazy. It was anarchy. That was liberty gone too far. Why? That's freedom. Freedom is you can do whatever you want. So they did whatever they want. There's no enforcement, no police. You know, like what Avraham Avinu said. He goes to the Pelishtim and he tells his wife to say, you are my sister.
Right.
Why? Avimelech says, what are you doing to me? You're crazy. I took her, but you it's your fault because you said it's your sister. So what did Avraham Avinu tell him? He says, Yadati ki en yirat Elokim makom hazeh. There's no fear of God in this place. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of the authorities. There's no fear of anyone. It's freedom. What happens when it's freedom? People take other people's wives. You're free. You can do whatever you want. It's the power of the jungle. So we need police presence. We need surveillance. We need neighborhood watch. We need security devices. We need personnel. And then you're free. With all that, then you're free. That's a free society. What kind of free society is that? So Judaism says that's not freedom. Freedom is chirut. What is chirut? Chirut is the difference between chirut and chofshiut. Chofshiut is... we're all free, but then we need police to guard us. We need the laws. So it says difference between engraving. Herut is from the word to engrave. Harut al-Luchot. That's what the Mishnah said. Yes. The words were engraved on the tablets. What's the difference between engraving and writing? So writing is you take two different materials. You take the ink and you take the paper and you write on it. How long does it last? How long does it last?
Till it gets erased.
Till it gets erased. What's going to erase it? Water. What else? The atmosphere. Because the atmosphere is humid. If it's humid, it erases it. It's amazing, right? Moisture. But if you engrave something, then it lasts forever. So now, what's the difference between engraving and writing? So that's the difference. If I write it, it's not written on the Luchot, it's engraved into the Luchot. It's going to last forever. That engraving is going to last forever. It's going to be engraved into us. That's what I'm trying to say. Chirut is going to be something that's engraved into us. The values... the values have to be engraved. If you really want to be free, it's got to be engraved into you. What's going to be engraved into you? What has to be engraved into you? The Torah has to be engraved into you. How does the Torah get engraved into you? Why? Can you imagine you tell a kid from when he's day one, you're not allowed to steal. Is that kid going to steal? If you engrave it into his heart, he's not going to steal, ever. Police? No police. It's engraved into him. It's part of him. But if you're just writing on him, it's not going to impress him. It's not going to change. In other words, engraving means change the character. Writing is not changing something. You're just adding something to something else. You're putting another coating on it. Right? So it's like a little thin veneer of civilization. You know, German society had a thin veneer of civilization. They always would say, please and thank you, please and thank you. And they even kill you and they say, please and thank you. Imagine. Crazy. Thin veneer of civilization. Judas says, no, thin veneer is not enough. It has to be engraved into your hearts. What's going to be engraved? All your values and your morals are going to be engraved into your hearts. And this way, it sticks. This way it sticks. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Let's just read that Mishnah again. Valuchot ma'aseh Elokim hema. And the tablets were made by God. Mikhtav, mikhtav Elokim. The writing was the writing of God. Hu charut al luchot. It was engraved into the luchot. Al tikre charut el alecherut. And that's the root of freedom. Root of freedom is when these writings are engraved into you. That's freedom. Charut, cherut is engraved into you. How do you engrave something into you? How do you engrave the Torah into you? Shein lecha ben chorim ela mishu yosef etam Torah. When you learn Torah and you're busy with Torah, you're getting the Torah into you. You're engraving your heart with the Torah. You're molding yourself. You're molding the person through the Torah. That becomes engraved, and that's how people change. Amazing. So freedom is born in the school. You know, it's very fascinating. Judaism is very fascinating. You know why? When did the rabbis abolish the Sanhedrin? When did the rabbis abolish the Sanhedrin? You know the rabbis abolished Sanhedrin? Mm-hmm. You know that? In the period of the Second Temple, towards the end of the Second Temple, the rabbis themselves abolished the Sanhedrin. You know that? Mm-hmm. How many judges are the Sanhedrin?
Huh?
71 judges on the Sanhedrin. The Supreme Court was 71 judges. Where were they operating? In the Hall of Hewn Stones. Where is the Hall of Hewn Stones? In the Beit HaMikdash. Imagine, on the side of the Beit HaMikdash. If you go into the Beit HaMikdash, you go right into the Beit HaMikdash, on the right side. There's a room called the Hall of Hewn Stones, where you have the Sanhedrin of 71 judges. It's the Supreme Court. The Jewish Supreme Court. When the Supreme Court in the Hall of Hewn Stones, then the Sanhedrin around the country, there's three levels of Sanhedrin. The lowest Beit was three judges for monetary cases, for divorces, for ketubah, for civil laws. And then you had the 23 judges. Every big city had a 23-judge court. They could do capital punishment. And above them was the Supreme Court, 71 judges. If the 23 judges had questions, they'd send it to the Supreme Court. Right. So it's a system of judgment in Judaism. It's amazing. 71 judges. Imagine, think about it. There's 71 rabbis sitting in a room. Three judges?
Yeah.
For monetary and for marriage cases.
Simple.
And then every big town had 23 judges for capital punishment, for murder and other things.
Right.
And on top of them was the Supreme Court. 71 judges. 71 judges. So what happens is, in the Second Temple period, there was such a degradation of society because
right.
of the Romans and poverty. People, there were bandits on the streets, Jewish bandits, robbing and killing. You might think about it. So you know what the Sanhedrin did? They said, we can't kill everybody. There's so many murderers today. We're not going to kill. You know what we're going to do? We're going to abolish the Sanhedrin. Isn't that the opposite of what we're meant to do? We're going to stop law and order. You know why? We can't kill everybody. What happens if everyone's breaking Shabbat? Are you going to kill everyone? Hey, guy, two witnesses. This guy's killing, breaking Shabbat. Call him here. I saw him driving yesterday. Call him in, we're going to kill him right now. You know what's going to happen? There won't be any Jews left. So what are we going to do? We're going to abolish the Sanhedrin. Because why?
To keep Judaism alive.
How do you keep Judaism alive? If there's no Sanhedrin, what keeps Judaism alive?
The Torah.
Education. Let's open schools. The Sanhedrin is top-down. Judaism is not a system of top-down. You cannot govern top-down. It's a system of bottom-up. You have to make schools. The schools are the key more than Sanhedrin. It's amazing. Think about this. Sanhedrin can only operate when everyone's behaving, more or less. When the majority of Jews are behaving, then you have a Sanhedrin, then you have a death penalty. There's no. How can you have a death penalty when no one's behaving? You're going to kill everybody? It's mad, crazy society. So what do you have to do? You have to build the schools. So that's what we're talking about. Engraving into the heart can only happen if there's education from birth. Then it's engraved in the heart. You can't take an old man and engrave it in the heart. You know why? Be careful what it says. It's like writing on erased paper. When you teach a child, it's like writing on clean parchment. When you teach an adult, it's like writing on engraved. He's going to erase what he had before, and he's going to write again. So it's harder, much harder. So, just start youth, engrave in their hearts from an early age. You know, don't steal. You take a kid to the store, and the kid says, I like this candy, I like this candy. Don't steal, we don't steal. You're engraving into his heart. From an early age, you engrave into the heart. That brings freedom. Freedom is when you don't need police. That's freedom. Freedom is when we're self-policing. That chirut al-luchot means it's engraved into you. It's so engraved into you, we don't need police. I'm not going to impinge on other people. You know why? Because the Torah says, ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Don't do to others what you don't want others to do to you. And therefore, I don't need the police. That's chirut. Chirut is totally different system for Chofshiyut. Chofshiyut is laissez-faire. You can do whatever you want, but then we're going to take away your rights because we need to protect society. Whereas Chirut is, we don't need to protect society because you know what's right and what's wrong, and you're going to protect society from yourself. You yourself is self-policing. Can you imagine a society where you can leave your doors open? We can leave your cars unlocked? Where the supermarket doesn't need security guards and they don't need cameras? Can you imagine? Think about it. Amazing.
What about schools? It used to be
schools, forget about it. You know, schools. You know, when I went to New York, the first time when I arrived here, I went to New York, and I saw this big old building with big barbed wire and fences and this, and then, you know, I was wondering, was it a prison? What kind of is it? And I see over there, PS something. Public school. I said, God, what's going on up here?
They had a number.
It's a sad, it's crazy. Yes, it's whatever. a sad thing, and the schools need to be guarded like jails.
Yeah.
And you've got to walk through with a, it's a mad society. Is that a free society?
We have
is that freedom?
Now. No.
We have that now.
I'm saying, is that a free society?
Park,
every synagogue has a code.
Yeah, but not the school, at least not. So far.
RPRY does not have security?
I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but anyway, that's the thing. That's freedom. That's freedom. That's chofshiyut. That is chofshiyut. That's not chirut. That's the difference between chirut.
Very sad.
It's very sad. Like, so that's the difference between chirut and chofshiyut. Chirut is where it's engraved in the person. They don't need police. When it's engraved into you, the values are engraved into you, you don't need police. You don't need a Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin says, if it's not engraved into them, we failed. We need to build up the schools and the education and not top-down law. We don't need to hire more police. If you have to hire more police, you failed already. You have to improve the education system. You have to improve the quality, and that's chirut. And that is our contribution to society. Our contribution to society is there's a high level of freedom. High level of freedom is when you know what God wants. Where do we get this idea? What's this idea come from of engraving into someone's heart? Where does the prophets talk about this? And the answer is, Yirmiyahu HaNavi talks about it in chapter 54. What does he say over there?
No idea.
There's going to be a Brit Chadasha. There's going to be a new covenant. Brit Chadasha. Mm-hmm. What's a Brit Chadasha? The new covenant.
The Christians took
that as a New Testament. No. The Brit Chadasha says, and you won't have to teach your friends about it anymore. It's going to be engraved in your
heart.
He's the one who talks about it. He says there's going to be a new, when the Mashiach comes, there's going to be a new level where it's going to be engraved in our hearts. And once people know the Torah backwards and forwards, you don't have to teach anyone anymore. The values are going to be into you so embedded, you'll know right and wrong from inside yourself. You won't have to worry about learning and teaching and police and this. It's going to be self-policing. Society, that's freedom. Freedom is society which is self-policing. The Torah itself says, at the end of the Devarim, it says, you will circumcise your
heart.
How do you circumcise your heart? And the answer is by getting rid of the evil in the heart. How do you get rid of the evil in the heart? And the answer is only by Lasok B'Torah. When you're busy learning Torah and the Torah's values are getting into you, seeping into you, and you're pushing inside, you're engraving yourself, you just demolish the evil, hopefully. But that's really what freedom on Pesach is all about. What do we celebrate? We're celebrating freedom. Freedom from what? You know, when I was in school, I was a kid. I never got this. You know, we had a headmistress. It was a Jewish school in London. And this is her name was Mrs. Lipman. I'll never forget her. Mrs. Lipman. She was the headmistress of the school. And she would say, it was like the 60s. It was in the 60s. Everyone said, freedom, freedom for the people. You remember that?
Yeah.
Big riots in the street. Freedom from the people. It was Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
Freedom, freedom for the masses. Freedom for the people. And so she would get up and they said, freedom from what? And freedom for what? Everybody's got to know, be free. Well, free from what? What are we going to do with the freedom? People don't know what to do with freedom. So the Torah says, we don't want freedom, we want chirut. Chirut is one of the values engraved in our hearts. If the values are engraved in your hearts, you won't need police, you won't need courts, you won't need anything. Bezrat Hashem, that's the level of freedom. Avdut lachirut. We don't go from avdut to chafshiut. We go from avdut to chirut. Bezrat Hashem, we'll get to that stage on our Pesach, should be a Pesach of chirut. It's Chag HaChirut. And Bezrat Hashem, all of us will get that Pesach stage. So first we have to go through the slavery of cleaning, and then we get to the freedom of Pesach. Bezrat Hashem, get there.